Hello, this is Paul, and I'm reading today from Genesis, chapter 9, verses 18 to the end of the chapter, and it's in the New American Standard Version. Now the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. Then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were turned away, so that they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. So he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, he shall be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem. And let Canaan be his servant." Noah lived 350 years after the flood. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Wow. Interesting passage. What can I get from this, I thought. Well, I try to ask myself, can I see Jesus in this passage when I'm reading? Sometimes I don't spot anything, but here in this passage I have. So we read about Noah getting drunk and uncovering himself in his tent. His son Ham sees him in this state, which is undignified, and Noah had been wrong to get drunk. You can imagine him going out over to his brothers, over to Shem and Japheth, and making fun of it, maybe accusing Noah of sin too. This is where I began to see some interesting links. So Shem and Japheth backed into Noah's tent with a covering. So they responded to the situation without accusation, but with help, in the form of covering, and they did not look at Noah. And we know that love covers a multitude of sins. That verse came to my mind. This is the second time nakedness and covering has been mentioned in Genesis. God made coverings for Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness and their shame, and it was the first time blood was shed to produce a covering, clearly speaking of the coming sacrifice of Jesus. So here we see another covering happening. Now in Revelation, and I'll just turn and read this, in chapter 3, verse 17 and on, it says here, when in one of the letters, the letter to the church in Laodicea, it says, "Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see." So there is a real theme coming through in a lot of places. It might not specifically mention nakedness, but our need of covering of our sin. In Romans 4:7, it does speak about our sins being covered. The blood of Jesus covers it. In Psalm 27, I think it is, 1 to 14, you can read the whole story about God hiding us and covering us. And the blood of Jesus is the final and ultimate solution to our nakedness, to our shame, to our sin and our wrongdoing. And I find it so significant here that these two brothers, they had the covering, but they didn't look upon the issue that they were covering. I'm sure God is like this with us. He's covered us by the blood of Jesus, and he doesn't hold our sin against us. He doesn't see our wrongdoing. It's just interesting though our sins were as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. It doesn't say we will be as white as snow, but the sins will be, it's as if they're not looked at anymore. There's no accusation for us from God, but there is accusation from the enemy. So, having thought I wouldn't find much in the passage, I found a lot, and I could, every time I read it, I see other little bits that seem to link together, that bring out something for me to link up with the truth of what Jesus has done for us and our place in him. So there you go. I didn't think I'd be doing that much, but I hope it's given you something to think about, something to be thankful for and grateful for. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your plan of salvation, the fact that all through your written word we see a thread of you being the one that brings a solution, that there's going to be one who will come, who will be the ultimate solution to mankind's needs and will bring restoration one day of all things. And we thank you, Jesus, that you gave yourself for us and that you are the answer to everything that we need. Help us to trust you, to keep reflecting on your goodness, your grace, your mercy to us. Help us to live in that newness of life without sensing or receiving accusation from other people, and especially from ourselves and from our consciences, which condemn us, because we know, Lord, you are bigger than our conscience. And how grateful we are for that. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.